looking at. Sometimes you're seeking confirmation, and God is just so good.
Yes, He is.
We're going to be looking at Genesis,
Amen.
The 12th chapter. Genesis 12. We are going to use that first, second, and the third
Amen.
Verses.
Amen.
I'm excited. Y'all going to find out why in just a second.
Amen. Amen.
Everyone there?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And verse 3, And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for standing in honor of the word of God.
Amen, amen, amen.
God, I thank you. I thank you for who you are, God. God, I thank you as the head of all things and the head of my life. The head of my thoughts, the head of my desires, God. The head of all things, God, I just bless and praise your name. I ask right now that you sit me down and you stand up. Let your word come forth as you've given it, God. Reduce me, God. Take my feelings and my thoughts away, God. And let your people be fed in the name of Jesus. My title this morning. Who does God say you are?
Amen.
Who does God say you are?
Amen.
My first point, walk with God. Second, doing the wrong thing for all the right reasons. And third, the perfect relationship. We're looking at Abraham here.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In the time that we're speaking, he's Abram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And God has called him out.
Uh-huh.
We're 9 generations after Noah. 9 generations before Abram, God was so disenchanted with man here on earth that he considered total destruction of every living thing. Every single thing, man and everything that he had created on this earth, every beast. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, we find in just before the presentation of Noah, the word says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
Mm-hmm.
The inhabitants of this earth had become so wicked. Verse 7 of that 6th chapter says, I will destroy man whom I have created, both man and beast, the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me I have made them. And here we are with Abram, just 9 generations later. And God is calling Abram out. But before Abram, there was Noah. And God has scanned the people, and he's looked at the folks from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Seth, It's worthwhile to read the book of Genesis because it's so full of good stories and good characters. It really is a good time. But then there was Noah. And the word says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we're still in that sixth chapter. And verse 9 says, these are the generation of Noah. He was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And because Noah's walk with God, God spared Noah and his immediate family. When the flood ended and it was safe to leave the ark according to God's instruction, Noah's first act after following what God said, get yourself and your family and all the animals off of the ark. God had filled the entire earth with water. The water had sat on the earth so long that everything died. And God said, okay, I've spared you. Get off the ark. I don't know if y'all have ever been on a cruise, but the first thing that you're going to do after you get off, I'm not sure if it's going to be what Noah did. The first thing he did was worship. The first thing he did was sacrifice. The first thing he did was repent. This man that God said, I see a man that walks with me. I see a man that's just. Amongst all of this wickedness that I see, all of this that's repenting me for my choosing to create, I see one. And his family, his generations are just. He didn't say perfect, but he was pleased. But this man said, after all of this time, I've spent years building this ark. I've followed all of these instructions. I've gone and gathered all the animals, all the insects, every single thing. And we've been cramped up on this ark. And most of the time without light. Right? And the first thing he does is he says, I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm going to worship. I'm going to repent. Yeah. Noah was a just man. He walked with God. We're going to speed forward to his 10th great-grandson, Abram. Nine generations following the flood, and God calls Abram to get up and get out of his father's house, away from his kindred, his family, because the family was beginning yet again to turn away from God by serving other gods. And there's a cross reference, I believe it's Joshua 24, where God reveals that his reason for calling Abram up out of his father's house was because they had begun idolatry and worshiping other gods. This was a Hebrew family that believed on, served, worshiped, and made sacrifice to God, but Abram's father, Terah, had moved the family away from Ur, which is where they lived, which is where they were seated, to Haran. And Haran was a cosmopolitan port city, you know, a place where all the merchandise and all the goods ran through, and imagine everything else. And they had begun to take part in the culture there. Okay? They had begun assimilating into the local customs and culture, but God had a plan for Abram, just as he does for each of us. And he called him up and said, get out, come and walk with me, just as Noah had. And he employed Abram. Let me make you a great nation. Get up and get out of your father's house. Get up and get away from your kindred. You have to get out of this space. Let me take you to a place that I'll show you. He didn't say, I'm going to take you south. I'm going to take you north. Get up, get out, and just come with me. Let me show you someplace new. The word reads that God said, and I will make thee a great nation. But there are biblical scholars that say, when he said, come on and get up and get out, you are still just. You are still seeking to walk with me. You are still calling out my name. You are still worshiping me.
Yes, Lord.
Come and get out of this space and let me make you a great nation.
Yeah.
Let me bless you. Let me make your name great. Let me make you a blessing to the entire world. For you to receive your call, you should be actively walking with God.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let me be clear. This walk with God does not mean perfection or being faultless. You may need to get up and out and away from distractions, but undoubtedly, just like Abram, there will be mistakes and missteps, even down right wrongdoing.
Amen.
The key is, who are you walking with?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now, God called Abram, who was this descendant of Noah, who was this descendant of Shem, and Shem is Adam and Eve's third child.
Yeah.
Cain had murdered Abel, okay? And Eve said when Seth came, oh, God, a child for you.
Yes.
And upon the birth of Seth's child, Enos, the word of God, the name of God began to be worshipped again amongst men.
All right.
Okay? And so that worship and that willingness to give and to walk with God went down generations.
Amen.
And while the world was wicked, that walk with God had been passed on to Noah. And because Noah had passed it to his sons, the word said his generations were perfect. We have a duty to pass it on to our generations. It was still with Abram. His father was straying. His brothers had strayed. All of the household was straying. But Abram was still attempting to walk with God. But I don't want to present any idea that Abram was perfect. We're going to skip and just look at Proverbs to help us out. We're looking at Proverbs, the sixth chapter, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and the 19th verse of chapter 6, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But remember what we talked about a little earlier. Out of chapter 6 of Genesis, God has a heart. If we continue with that sixth chapter of Proverbs, in verse 20, it says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake thee not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You take God's word, you take God's promises, and you bind them continually upon your heart, and you tie them about your neck, and you bind them continually upon your heart because your heart moves and changes and grows and shifts. Your desires move and change, but you must continually reapply that word, those promises, to your heart. Bind them around and tie them around your neck and let them hang all about so each time you shift and move, you are reminded where you should be walking. And you live and walk with them, and when the light of them reveals to you the need to change, stop, repent, get closer to God in your walk, rejoice, and keep living and walking with God. When Noah got off of that ark, the first thing he did was sacrifice, worship, and repent. Can you imagine what it must have been like? You know, we've got later stories about Noah and the things that he did.
Now let's think about what he was actually doing on the ark, you know, while he was stuck for hundreds, of days. The first thing he did was repent. Walking with God does not require perfection. It does not require a faultless life. Just look at Abram. Just look at Noah. Abram was crafty. He was slick. He told some lies, but he was walking with God. As Noah did. There's no expectation that you be perfect. There's no expectation that you can't be. You can't be holier than thou.
Yeah.
That's making yourself an idol.
Right.
Yeah. Walking with God is simply what it says. It's walking with him.
Yeah.
It's binding his word and his instruction about your heart. Yeah. It's binding it about your neck so you carry it with you consistently. So it's a great reminder to you. You should be acknowledging the existence of God.
Yeah.
You should be acknowledging the nature of God, his omniscience, his omnipresence, him as creator, him as father, him as keeper, him as savior, him as comforter, as God, King of kings, Lord of lords. If you're walking with him, you are consistently doing these things.
Yeah.
You have a willingness and a desire to worship him.
Yeah.
There comes a time, I can imagine Noah, he got off and he could think about all the times he said the wrong word or all the times he got frustrated with the smell and the dank of the animals.
Yeah.
You know, how he got tired of just having his wife and his children about him and nobody else. He didn't have a free place to get to, right? But when he got off, he said, I can repent, but I just feel the urge in me to worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first thing he did was take all of the clean animals and all of the clean fowl, and he built an altar and he laid them out for worship. Walking with God, keeping him with you in all aspects of your life, everywhere you go, everything you do, seeking him in all things, everything you desire to do, keeping him with you, teaching your generations, your children, and everyone within your territory to walk with God. It doesn't matter where you're going. People will tell you where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, who you should be with, who you shouldn't be with. But I'm here to tell you, if you're walking with God and you're letting him lead you, you may end up in some places that people have a hairy eye about. But if you're walking with God and you have his word bound around your heart and tied around your neck, you are doing his work. There's someone there that needs that lamp, that needs that light. You keep walking with God. When you make mistakes, accept the reproof.
Yeah.
And that word said, the reproof of instruction are the way of life.
Yeah.
Correction is the way of life.
Yeah.
It should bring you joy. That's what Paul said, I've got this thorn and God won't remove it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have joy in every time that it sits me down because in my weakness, God is strong, is the strongest. Accepting the reproof joyously, being renewed. Get up and out of the inappropriate circumstance.
Yeah.
Abram, get up.
Yeah.
Child of God, get up and get out of your house.
Yeah.
Get out from around your distractions.
Yeah.
Get out from around what's keeping you from me. Get out from around that's telling you you don't have to worship me. Get out from around that's telling you, oh, you don't have to carry the word of God with you everywhere.
Yeah.
Get up and away from that, right? As I do, y'all know I love definitions. But reproof. Reproof, that word. It means to correct, to rebuke. It's not, come here, sweetie, you did something wrong. It's, what were you thinking? Right? It's the slap in the face. It's knocking you down. What were you thinking? At the same time, that's the noun version of the word reproof. The verb version, the action is to renew. To make new. The example given is you take a coat that's waterproof, you have a raincoat, and it's begun to leak water. When you reproof it, you make it waterproof again. You renew it and make it new. So reproof is a part of the process. You should not be falling out and saying, oh gosh, I've messed up, God will never take me back. That's part of the process. If you're walking with him, you will get pruned back. You might, your branch might get cut back and thrown into the fire. fire, and you have to start over because you're not bearing fruit.
Yeah.
We'll move on to number two. Doing the wrong thing for all the right reasons. I encourage you to read the remainder. You know, there's a lot in here. So this story of Abram, it goes past Abram. He becomes Abraham. God changes his name. He and his wife do some foolish stuff. He travels. He spends time in Egypt. He becomes wealthy. He forms an army out of his own household. He conquers nations. He lies. He does some slick, you know, stuff. It's worth the read. I believe it's 12 through, I think, Isaac is born 22, 23, somewhere in there. Yeah, 12 through 22. He rescues his kidnapped nephew. Abram does a lot. There's a lot in here. But I want us to focus on just a few of the things of he and his wife's schemes. And I highlight these to tell you, be encouraged. Your walk with God is not going to be a straight path. You're going to make mistakes. God loves you even in your nature, right? His expectation is that if you walk with me. Here we have Abram called out by God in a position where God is planning to just increase him. He's going to become the father of a great nation. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Yeah. We're still calling out his name now, today. Yeah. We're talking about Abraham. This is God's promise to him. You shall be a blessing. And by you, Abram, you're going to be a blessing to every family of the earth. That's the promise of the Messiah. That's the promise of Christ. God is saying to Abraham, all this law that you've learned, I'm actually going to give you the answer. The answer is going to come through you. It's going to come through your bloodline. All of this great stuff that God has said and all of these promises about who Abram is. Who does God say you are? But every obstacle, every circumstance, and every uncertainty, Abram did the wrong thing for the right reasons. The best explanation I have for he and Sarah, because his wife was in on it, they must have thought God needed their help for his will, for his word to come true. They must have thought God needed his help for his promises to be fulfilled. Let's look at Abram. I'm not going to do things in order. I'm going to do them as they came to me. He journeyed as God directed him. And as time went on, there was a famine in the land. And Abram went into Egypt. The word says he went into Egypt. It doesn't say God directed him to go to Egypt. We don't have the God said, get up, come on, move again. God may have, it's just not recorded in the word. But there was a famine, and Abram got up and he went into Egypt. And as they got near to this land of plenty, where there was not famine, and there were men of families of big stature, he told his wife, Sarah, since you are so good looking, since you are so attractive, the Egyptians may want you and kill me to get you. So let's just say that we're brother and sister. Now, technically, Sarah was his father's daughter. They had different mothers, right? So we're going to rationalize the lie out of it, right? Let's say that we're brother and sister. But he goes further. You know, you go into a space, you come up with a scheme, and you say something, but you don't act on it. He gives his wife to Pharaoh. And in exchange, he receives sheep, oxen, asses, she-asses, camels, manservants, maidservants. He is enriched. He's given away his wife. Right? And he's taken in all of the bride price that Pharaoh would pay. And he's living just fine. Until Pharaoh comes and says, I have all these plagues of God. And it's been revealed to me, this is your wife. What are you doing? This is God's chosen person. Get up. Get out of your father's house. Come and go with me. I see you. I love you. I like the way you walk with me. Yeah. This man that's walking with God. Yeah. Okay. Abram and Sarah repeat this in chapter 20. Yeah. They live years. Yeah. What would be generations for us, yeah. right? They're well into old age. And Sarah is still beautiful enough that Abram is afraid that if, and at this point he's Abraham, because his son, his first son has been born, his name has been changed, and God has said, I told you would be the father of nations. Yeah. This first son is not the one, right? There's still another to come. They are seasoned. Abram is now rich, right? He's conquered nations, and here they are traveling again, and they're coming into the kingdom of Abimelech. And Abram and Sarah do this same scheme. He's wealthy. He's a man of great reputation. His household has formed an army and defeated kingdom. But fear of being killed, because another man might want his beautiful wife, Abram said, oh, let me help God make sure I don't get killed and I get to fulfill all these things that he said to me, because God doesn't realize that they're going to kill me. So let me help God. This man walking with God. So again, they lie. And again, he gives his wife, right? But this time, God says to Abimelech, you have Abram's wife in your household. Return her to him. Don't harm him because he's a prophet. Pause. I'm lying. I'm scheming. I'm not doing right. But God says to Abimelech, don't harm him. Don't harm him. He's actually my prophet. Okay? In Abimelech's household, he's got many wives. He's got concubines. He's been trying to have an heir. He's been trying to have a child. And the word said that the wombs of his wives are just shut up. And here comes Sarah. And before he can move, God says, stop. This is not your wife. So he returns Sarah, and there's got to be some drama, right? Right? Because you've lied. There's got to be some drama. But he says, but God says that you were going to bless me. And Abraham blesses him. And the wombs of his wives open up, and Abimelech has an heir. So God can use your folly for good. Your journey is intended just as God had it. But I'm gobsmacked. But I'm encouraged because I know the mistakes that I've made. I know the places that I've been in my life. I remember the things that I've done. But Abraham's story is like a warm hug from God saying, you keep walking with me. You will make mistakes. Moving on. God specifically promises Abraham that he and Sarah, his wife, will have a son. And God has given Abraham visions and spoken to him. He's renewed his promises to him. So as they're traveling, right, they come to important places. And God tells him, this is an area that I'm giving to you. And Abram stops and he worships and he repents and he makes sacrifice to God and he builds altars. He does this throughout, right? But God has said, you're going to have a son. You and Sarah are going to have a son. And God has repeated the promise and added to the promise, right? Nonetheless, in chapter 16, we see Sarah devise a plan to, again, help God. You know, God said that you're going to be the father of great nations, but we haven't had any children, and I'm in old age, so God probably needs my help. He doesn't really mean that I'm going to have the child. What I'm going to do is I've got this handmaiden here. And I'm going to give her to you, and you go ahead and marry her, and y'all have a child, and that's going to be the way you become the father of great nations, helping God. Again, doing the wrong thing for all the right reasons. So God, Abram has this son with Hagar, and God changes Abram's name to Abraham, signifying he will be the father of great nations, but tells him that child, Ishmael, is not the child he promised, and that he and Sarah are going to have a child. And as the story goes, God says Sarah will bear a son. And we already know, you've got some idea who Abraham and Sarah are. Sarah's eavesdropping. She's behind the door listening, right? She's behind the door listening. And when God says, she's going to have this baby, Sarah laughs.
Yeah.
She chuckles. She laughs. She can't hold it in. Now, Sarah's old. She believes she's beyond her childbearing years.
Yeah.
I get it. God's promise sounded ridiculous to her.
Yeah.
I've been there. She laughed. Have you been there? That God has given you a vision. God has given you a promise. It comes out clear to you what God has intended for you, but you don't see any pathway there.
Yeah.
Everything that you see in this earthly realm says that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You may even have people telling you, oh, you'll never achieve that.
Yeah.
That will never happen.
Yeah.
And she laughed.
Yeah.
There's just not any way.
Yeah.
Nothing seems to be going your way, and God says, I will provide.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've been in a place where I've had absolutely nothing. I had my mama, right? And she could feed me and house me and such. But I've been in a place where there's been absolutely nothing. And God says, I'll provide. And I've said, sure you will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Sure you will. Sure. Your faith will be tested. This walk with God, I'm standing here this morning to tell you to keep walking with him.
Yeah.
You will make mistakes. You might come up with some harebrained scheme to quote-unquote help God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might find yourself in circumstances of lies, stealing, cheating, sin, just plain sin.
Yeah.
You may still be waiting instead of walking.
Mm-hmm.
Get up, child of God.
Yeah.
Get up. Get going. Get away from what threatens and hinders you. Walk
yeah.
with God. Abraham made many mistakes.
Yeah.
It was all a part of his journey. If you get up and walk with him,
yeah.
God will work it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, finally, the good news,
yeah.
that perfect relationship.
Yeah.
We know we have to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
We know we will make mistakes.
Yeah.
We have every reason now hearing this to say, maybe I'm not going to rationalize all these things and God doesn't need my help, right?
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
you will make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now that good news, the perfect relationship.
Yeah.
What a friend
yeah.
we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
Looking back at the last words of that focus scripture in verse 3,
yeah.
those last few words, it says, and in thee, in you, Abram, shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Yeah.
You and I, the inhabitants of the earth today, we are those families. We have the opportunity to take hold of the promises God made to Abraham for ourselves.
Yeah.
Who does God say you are? Are you like Noah, a just man who walked with God?
Yeah.
Ask yourself, check yourself. Who are you walking with?
Yeah.
Don't forget Abraham's father. His household, they were lost in idolatry. Relationship is not enough. Who are you walking with?
Yeah.
Who does God say you are?
Uh-huh.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? When Abraham got that promise that you will bless all families, it was because God was saying Christ was going to come through him,
yeah.
what was going to give all of us the opportunity to have eternal life,
yeah.
to have salvation.
Yeah.
Give all of us the opportunity to walk with him. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that he is God? He is God the Son. Have you and do you continue to repent
yeah.
of your sins? Do you believe in your heart that God sent his son, a part of him, Emmanuel, God with us?
Yeah.
Do you have those moments like Job when you see the wrongs about you and you'll rent your clothing in worship and say, God, I trust you and I know who you are. My family, my father, my children, they may be doing wrong, but I'm going to walk with you.
Yeah.
Do you know him for yourself? Have you experienced God's friendship? Jesus can relate to you. He became flesh. God became flesh. And he lived as a man. He was tempted by Satan. He had an earthly mother and a father. He had siblings. He was hated and lied upon. He was mistreated by those who should have loved him. He gave his life. He shed his blood for you and I. Who does God say you are?
Yeah. Thank you.
Who does your walk say you are?
Yeah.
What has God promised you? Get up, child of God. Get out from around the circumstance that will interrupt your walk. Like Noah, God will be gracious to you if you are just and you walk with God. It is my intention always to encourage you. I ask again, who does God say you are? Walk with him. Remember Noah's worship. Worship him. Keep him at the center in the midst of your life. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."